Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. And it's something else what music can do when you hear certain songs, how it can bring back memories. It can bring you to a time and a place. I mean, Foolin' by Def Leppard came off of their album Pyromania, which was released at the end of January in 1983. That was my sophomore year in high school. Less than 2 months later, I would turn 16 years old. I would get my driver's license. I would buy my father's old El Camino off of him. And I would install, well, I had help installing, a new stereo with big speakers I put on each door of the El Camino. And the cassette tape that I played most when I first got my driver's license was that one right there, was Pyromania by Def Leppard. And to this day, anytime I hear a song off of it, it brings me back to being 16 years old, cranking that cassette. By the way, I blew out a few sets of speakers that we had to replace on the doors of the old El Camino. And anytime I hear a song from that album, it brings me back to that incredible year where I turned 16 years old and was driving around for the first time. And because it was an El Camino, you know, part car, part truck, what is it? Is it a car? Is it a pickup truck? It's both. It just brings me back to those times where I'd fill up the back of the El Camino with my friends, and we would just drive around town. And that album, more than any other, I cranked because it had just come out. And you think about all the great songs that were on that album. Besides Foolin', I mean, Photograph, Rock of Ages, Too Late for Love. And those were just radio songs. Then there were other songs that weren't on the radio. Stage Fright. I mean, there were some great. That's when Def Leppard really became big.
Do you know how they got their name?
Yeah. One of the guys in the band thought it sounded cool, but when he first wrote it down, he wrote Def like it is spelled, D-E-A-F. And then Leppard. And then I think one of the other guys in the band said, that sounds cool, but take the A out of Def and just make it D-E-F. Okay. It would look cooler.
I thought maybe like the animal leopard had some kind of symbolism to one of the guys in the band, like they wore leopard print or something like that.
No.
It just sounded cool.
No. And I mean, that was the rock album of 1983. That was my sophomore year in high school. That was the rock album. That album, for much of 1983, Coleman, sold over 100,000 copies a week.
Wow.
For the entire year. Yeah, it's over 10 million sold, which is a diamond album. If an album sells over 10 million copies or sold over 10 million copies, it would be certified as a diamond album. And again, it's incredible what music can do when you hear something. That just brought me back to 1983. And by the way, Coleman, that's not even Def Leppard's biggest selling album. Because the album they released after that, a few years later, Hysteria, that has sold more copies than Pyromania. Both of them produced by mega producer Mutt Lang, who was married to Shania Twain for a while. Not anymore. But it's incredible what music can do when you hear something. And that's just that. It's incredible. I can remember details from when I was 16 years old, but ask me what I did 2 or 3 days ago, what I had for lunch or what I did in the afternoon. I'd be like, hang on. I don't know. I can't remember. It's going to take me a while to think.
Yeah, I don't remember anything from 1983 being that I was two.
It's incredible what how the mind works. So did you read, did you see, you paying attention to the news in the wake of what happened on Wednesday at the United States Capitol building in Washington, D.C.? The chief of the Capitol Police in Washington, D.C. resigned. He was forced to resign. Because when we were talking about it yesterday, I mean, obviously I said how bad it was. I mean, it's great to protest, but once you start breaking the law and once you start going places you're not supposed to go, you know, much like the protests we saw for a lot of the year 2020 in different cities in America, whether they were Black Lives Matter protests or whatever, we always said when those were happening, hey, protests are great. But in those instances, in different cities, in New York, all over the place, we saw protesters then turn into criminals, because when they were breaking windows of stores and people were running in and stealing from those stores, that's not protesting. That's felonious behavior. That's felonies right there. And so many of those folks who did that all year long in 2020, most of them got away with that. And on Wednesday, I believe there were over 50 people who were arrested. And I had said, when we talked about it on the show yesterday, I even mentioned it on Facebook. I said, yeah, it's awful. It's great to protest, but you can't be breaking in. Especially in the building that defines democracy, you can't be breaking in there and doing things like that, what they did. But I also said, talk about a police failure. I mean, how did that happen? The Capitol Police, Capitol Hill Police, the Capitol Police in Washington, D.C., they had to know something was going to happen, because Wednesday was the day where we were going to officially have our peaceful transfer of political power in America, with the Electoral College votes all being counted by the President of the United States Senate, who is also the Vice President of the United States, Mike Pence. And that started happening like that. And they were questioning Arizona. And they had some good stuff. They had some stuff that was happening that was positive, that was legitimate. And then while they were talking about what the hell happened in Arizona, because a lot of us questioned in several states the votes. And it was a legitimate questioning of those handful of states. Once they started talking about Arizona, then all of a sudden the people... And again, out of all of the protesters, there were so many protesters in Washington, D.C. There was only, 150, maybe 200 of them got into the actual Capitol building. Only 150 to 200 of them actually stormed the Capitol building. And I remember saying, how did the Capitol Police let that happen? Because People were talking about that date online. People were talking about things happening on Wednesday. Because that's the day that the Electoral College votes. People online were saying, hey, Wednesday, January 6th, some things may be happening there at the Capitol building in Washington, D.C. How weren't they more prepared for that?
Well, from what I understood before everything went down, it was just supposed to be a protest. No, I'm not sure if anybody said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to try to storm into the Capitol. So they thought it was just going to be the organizers had permits, so they knew something was going down. They were permits to protest, so that was expected. But I don't think anybody, no matter whether you're the police or the FBI or whatever, expected this to happen at all.
Well, Coleman, there was talk online, watch out, this could get crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But the Capitol Police were not prepared. And so yesterday, the day after that happened, Capitol Police Chief Stephen Sund, he announced he's resigning. I guess all the heat got to him and forced him to resign a day after protesters breached the Capitol, overran his officers, and prompted condemnations from lawmakers on both sides of the political aisle. And then there were people calling for him to step down, including Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi. And he did step down. He released a statement. It has been a pleasure and true honor to serve the United States Capitol Police Board and the congressional community alongside the women and men of the United States Capitol Police. He said the resignation would take effect Sunday, January 16th.
Hmm.
What's... Today's so he's got 8 days to go. He 8 or 9 days to go. He still has one last week to be police chief of the Capitol Police in United States.
Here's a good question. This texter asks, why shouldn't the mayor resign? I'm guessing they're talking about the mayor of Washington, D.C. Does Washington, D.C. even have a mayor?
Of course they have a mayor. You don't remember their most famous mayor? Marion
Barry. Because I thought since
the bitch set me up.
Since it wasn't necessarily a state, it's a district. I didn't know whether they had a. Yeah, they do. But why shouldn't the mayor resign? That's a good question.
Well, what's interesting, and that is a good question, Texter. The grounds that the United States Capitol is on, I think that's federal ground, and that's different than if you walk off of those grounds and walk down the street. Like just like a regular crack-infested street in Washington, D.C.
Right, because the Capitol Police Force is just strictly for the Capitol. It's not necessarily Washington, D.C.'s police force, correct?
Yeah, it's strictly for the Capitol. It is not Washington, D.C. It's two different things.
Right.
It's like the difference between the New Orleans police and the Orleans Parish Sheriff's officers. It's two different, completely different things and different bodies. And the Capitol, the United States Capitol Police, they're at the beck and call of Congress, of the United States Congress.
And Congress not going to resign themselves.
The chief of the United States Capitol Police, Capitol Police Chief Stephen Sund, announced his resignation. He's out a week from Sunday. And so that's that. Hey, coming up, speaking of what happened in Washington, D.C., did you see where a local supermarket chain here in the New Orleans area has now found themselves in the middle of it? The cancel culture is going after that supermarket. And people love that supermarket. I love that supermarket. Stay tuned. That's coming up here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need.
Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. And when we, earlier this week on our show, we were talking about how over a couple of days, there were a bunch of more carjackings here in the city of New Orleans. And carjackings, the number of them skyrocketed through the roof. And we talked about the carjacking that happened right around this time, the beginning of our show earlier this week in Lakeview, where the homeowner whose driveway and yard is gated, the homeowner was backing his vehicle out of his driveway to go to work, opened up his gate, and two carjackers walked onto his property, onto his driveway, pulled a gun on him. He just kept going, trying to back out of his driveway, and they shot at him. They shot 3 times. One of the bullets hit his car. And as I mentioned when we talked about it a few days ago, 2 of the bullets, we don't know where they ended up. But I read after that one of those other bullets shot by one of the carjackers at the owner of the vehicle may have hit the other carjacker.
Hmm.
So police thought they may have been looking for someone with a bullet wound for this. That was awful. And the guy said, the homeowner in Lakeview, again, Lakeview, one of the nicer places to live around here. And the homeowner said, look, I've got a wife and kids. I've already put a gate around my property. And they came through the gate when I opened my gate with their guns drawn. He said, maybe it's time for me to leave. I mean, the violent crime, the carjacking is up in the city of New Orleans. There was a carjacking a day or so before that one in New Orleans East, where a woman was delivering groceries for her elderly in-laws. She was shot and killed. She was a 52-year-old woman or 53-year-old woman. Well, breaking news yesterday, a 15-year-old was arrested. And the police aren't guessing he did it. They know he did it because his father turned him in.
That's right.
His father, the 15-year-old's father, turned him in. That must have been very difficult for the father when he found out that his 15-year-old son was the one who carjacked the woman in New Orleans East. And during the carjacking, shot and killed her. You know, I go back to when I was 15, some of the conversations I had with my father. Or if you are listening and you have a 15-year-old son right now, or had a 15-year-old son, some of the conversations you had with him. God forbid you ever have a conversation like that. And the father's, when I don't know how that conversation started between those two. But the kid admitted to his father, yeah, Dad, it was me that did that. Well, the father then turned in the 15-year-old murder suspect son. Obviously, very difficult. How many fathers, how many parents would go out of their way to try to hide that information to protect their kids from the police?
Oh, not a responsible one. This father in this particular case did the responsible thing and said, son, you're going to face the consequences of your actions. Of course, it's your paternal instinct to want to protect your children from anything and everything. But at the same time, there's a certain line where good parenting, you have to make the hard call and do some tough love.
Well, Coleman, this 15-year-old should be treated legally as an adult, because if he's treated as a child, then when he's 18 or 21, he'll be walking the streets again. This kid, he shot and killed a woman while carjacking her, and the woman is 52 years old, and she was delivering groceries to her elderly in-laws. Her name, Anita Irvin Lavige, born and raised in New Orleans, very active in her church. And she's gone. And that 15-year-old should be gone for a very, very, very long time. But, you know, what a difficult thing for his father to do to his own son.
But it's the right thing to do.
Absolutely, it's the right thing to do. I know for a fact there are many, many, many parents out there that wouldn't do that and that would do whatever they could to protect their child from the cops.
We've been talking about these carjackings for almost a year now. And I can recall, like, first of all, I think it's an entire Ring organization, because the suspects are always children. You know, they're always 13, 15-year-olds.
Yeah, there were younger children in other carjackings younger than 15.
Exactly. So to me, it seems to organize in the way they go about it, some of the ways they go about carjacking these cars, the places that they case and all that. It doesn't seem like a young guy's idea. It seems like it's an adult idea that they kind of coerce children in urban areas to be a part of. And I've also said that when it comes to these carjackings, how bold they're getting. Now they're willing to actually take lives just to jack the car instead of, you know, all right, the guy who opened the gate, they shot at the car, which makes the car invaluable with bullet holes in it. And what this 15-year-old did, he was willing to take a life for the car. You know, the immaturity and the boldness of these kids. And we talked about it last year. We were talking about that father who had his kids shot that were involved in these carjackings or whatever. They made the news twice. He had two different.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's something going on with these carjackings, and they have to get to the bottom of this. To me, it's organized. This is something that, so in this particular case, the father did the right thing, bringing having his kid be turned in, and that's better than what happened last year with the original father who had two kids who were shot and killed because they were involved in a carjacking ring.
So the father turns in his own 15-year-old son. Meanwhile, crime in New Orleans continues to be huge. The numbers are unbelievable. In the year 2020, which just ended, New Orleans murders were up 70%. 202 people were murdered in New Orleans in the year 2020. So murder in New Orleans in the year 2020 was up 70% over 2019. And in the city of New Orleans, news yesterday that the New Orleans Homeland Security Chief was just arrested two nights ago for DUI, drinking and driving. His name is Colin Arnold. He was driving in a city vehicle. So, I mean, part of his job, they gave him a car to drive around in. And two nights ago, Wednesday night into early Thursday morning, he was on Canal Street here in New Orleans, and he hit another car. He refused to take a breathalyzer, and he was arrested for DUI. He goes to court today, but this is someone in our tax cheat of a mayor's inner circle when it comes to running the city of New Orleans, Letaxa Cantrell, her homeland security chief. Think about that. His job is to keep us secure.
I didn't even know.
Driving around late at night in a city car, crashing it into other cars. His job is to keep us secure.
I didn't even know we had a homeland security chief. I wonder what his job and responsibility is. Like, is that different from the chief of police? Like a homeland security chief? Is he federal? Like,
well, with the murders being up 70%, with 15-year-olds carjacking and killing people, the homeland isn't very secure right now, and you've got the damn homeland security chief driving around drunk.
Well, in all fairness, if the crime is going up 70%, you might need something to help take the edge off.
All right, coming up on the show, there's a local supermarket chain who's making headlines around here because some people are trying to cancel it. The cancel culture is trying to cancel, and I'll flat out say it, my favorite supermarket in the New Orleans metropolitan region. Stay tuned for the latest on that. They're telling people to boycott this. They're not even thinking about all of the local people that depend on the supermarket to get their paychecks, to live their lives and eat food and pay rent. They just want to boycott. They want us to boycott the supermarket, and we'll tell you why coming up here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. You know whose birthday it is today? Elvis Presley was born today. Right next door over in Mississippi. Today in 1935, Elvis Presley was born. A new biopic of the icon is in the works. They're making a new movie about him. Austin Butler, actor Austin Butler, will play the young, slender Elvis, and the older, bloated Elvis will be portrayed by actress Rosie O'Donnell. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. So did you see where some members of Congress want Vice President Mike Pence to invoke the 25th Amendment, the United States Constitution, to remove President Donald Trump? This is what's making headlines over the last few days. And what that is, the 25th Amendment, it was ratified in the late 60s, I think 1967. The 25th Amendment basically says that if the vice president, he has to lead the way. If he thinks the president is mentally unstable to do his job as president of the United States, then he has to get the cabinet members to all agree. And then he, along with the cabinet members, have to get Congress, the House of Representatives, to vote. And it has to be a majority for them to vote to say yes, invoke the 25th Amendment, remove this mentally unstable president. Obviously, it's never been used yet, thank God, in our country. But Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House of Representatives, she's urging Mike Pence to take that up with Donald Trump's cabinet. What's incredible about this is he has 12 days left as president. 12 days he has left as president, and they are still trying to impeach him. They are still trying to remove him. They started to try to impeach this man on the first day of his presidency 4 years ago, and they have not stopped.
I predict
if one thing didn't work, they tried something else. If that didn't work, then they tried something else. So this proves the opposite side of the political aisle, many members of that party have been trying to remove Donald Trump from his first day as president until his last day as president.
I predicted that.
And I'll be honest with you, Coleman.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, if you asked me, what do I think of Donald Trump as a president? I think a lot of the things he did, the political things he did as president, I thought they were very good. I thought they helped America. The tax cuts, and we can start talking about, but I don't want to bore you. I think a lot of the political things Donald Trump did were very good, but it is his personality. It's just, to many people, is what did him in.
Or inspired a lot of people. I think some people gravitated toward Trump's personality because he was not a politician. At the time where President Trump was elected, you know, the majority of the people, or the people that voted for him, were tired of politics as usual. They were tired of the boring, non-fighting, like Mitt Romney and John McCain's of the world. And Donald Trump came in as a fighter, somebody that can talk back, somebody who wasn't apologetic, somebody who was rough around the edges. I think at that particular time, when he was elected, that's what people were wanting. They wanted somebody who wasn't clean cut, that was not, you know, a puppet per se.
Well, again, a lot of the things he did as president politically, I agreed with and I liked. But a lot of the things he said, like what he said about John McCain, how when John McCain was shot down flying an airplane when he was in the United States military during the Vietnam War, and he survived all those years being a prisoner of war in the Hanoi Hilton. Donald Trump said, well, he's not a hero to me because my heroes don't get shot down. And that bothered me. I'm like, really, dude? Really? You know, that ended up costing him getting rid of Obamacare when he became president, because the one senator, he needed one more senator. And John McCain was that senator. And John McCain never forgot what he said before he died. And he said, no, I'm not going to let you get rid of Obamacare. You're stuck with it. But I didn't like that. And then, you know, some of the things he said during his tweets, when he tweeted, again, as a president and what he did politically, I liked much of it, most of it. I liked what he did. But his personality turned off so many people, and so many things that he said turned off so many people. And believe me, I know many, many big mouth New Yorkers. So I know a lot of people who have that type of personality.
But during this sermon, I appreciated the transparency. Donald Trump was the first president in my lifetime that told you exactly what was on his mind, whether it was good or bad,
yeah,
whether it was moral or immoral, and like he tweeted whatever he felt. He was the most transparent president, and I believe in history. He kept no secrets. He made no bones about what he felt. He told you what his intentions were, and we're not going to have that anymore ever. Even like with Joe Biden, we're not going to know everything he's thinking. He's going to have handlers that tweet for him.
The guy's been in politics for almost 50 years. He's a professional politician. Donald Trump was like that because he wasn't a professional politician.
Mm-hmm.
And well, it's just the way with what happened at the United States Capitol building, the way his presidency is ending is pretty damn ugly.
It's going to be about legacy, though. They want to do this because, yeah, even if it's the last day, they just want to say they were able to do it. They want to say that we were able to remove this president. And I predicted that a few years ago when they're doing a Russian investigation, all the Kavanaugh stuff. I said they're going to wait till the last day, 11:59:99 seconds, to try to impeach this guy for something. And now they have another excuse to do so.
Well, that's why they impeached him. They knew he was never going to be impeached, mm-hmm, because of the United States Senate had the votes, and they were led by Republicans. They knew on the other side that they were never going to impeach him, but they just wanted to get it on record.
Right, they wanted in history books.
That they tried to have him impeached.
They wanted on the history books.
That's what they wanted. And now, to add insult to injury, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Snapchat have all banned President Donald Trump. He's been banned from basically all of social media.
It's funny how people want a transparent politician, but the same people that want a transparent politician are blocking the politician for being transparent. Like, no, don't tell everybody what you think and what you feel. No, we don't want it anymore.
I can't believe the president of the United States is in Facebook jail. He's in Facebook jail. And I wonder if he's going to be like some of my Facebook friends after they get out of Facebook jail, if he comes on and makes a post saying, I'm out. Screw you.
Oh, boy. I mean, you think the president is unfiltered now? Wait till he doesn't have the obligation of being a president of the United States no more. He's really going to speak his mind after that. We have not heard the last from this dude. He is a loudmouthy New Yorker.
So, again, the other side of the political aisle, they want Mike Pence, the vice president, to invoke the 25th Amendment. They're trying literally until the day he leaves, they're trying to remove him. They started on the day he arrived 4 years ago. So how much work did the other side of the political aisle get done in the last 4 years when they focused so much on just removing this man?
Not too much.
Boy, oh boy. All right, coming up next on the show. A local supermarket here in New Orleans and a local supermarket chain that's big around here. The cancel culture wants them cultured. People wants them canceled. They're telling people to boycott this local grocery store chain. We'll give you all the details and tell you why, and I'll tell you why I think it's crazy. Because when you boycott, you're only hurting the local people who live here and work there and depend on their paychecks. Stay tuned for that next here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois. After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show, New Orleans morning radio show. Over the last couple of days, I noticed on Facebook some of my Facebook friends that were sharing a Facebook post, and they were telling people, asking people to boycott local supermarket chain here, Rouse's. Why were they doing that? Because there was a picture going around of the guy that started Rouse's, Donald Rouse Sr., along with a guy who used to be the human relations director for Rouse's supermarket chain. There was a picture of those two guys in Washington, D.C. at the protest on Wednesday. And the people on Facebook that were sharing that were saying it's time to boycott Rouse's supermarkets because here is Donald Rouse Sr., along with the former HR director, at that protest that towards the end of the protest turned into some of the protesters going in to the United States Capitol building, storming the building. And we all saw what happened 2 days ago on Wednesday. And the people that were saying boycott Rouse's were saying, you need to boycott Rouse's because this guy, Donald Rouse Sr., who, by the way, has been retired for a while. We can't spend any money with any business that supported an insurrection against the United States government.
Now, how did they connect those two together? Just because he was present at the location, so now all of a sudden he's responsible for it, or he was down with the idea, or he was for it, just because he was in the area and he went to go, I guess, protest the what he may have believed was the results of the election, all of a sudden that means he was down for the insurrection of Capitol Hill? That's how they put the two together?
That's
guilt by association?
That's what some of my Facebook friends were spreading that. And I said, what are you doing? What do you mean boycott Rouse's? So you don't want to go to Rouse's because the retired Donald Rouse Sr., who got Rouse's going, but isn't involved in the day-to-day Rouse's business anymore, and he hasn't been in a while, because he went to a protest? Protests are legal. So anyways, this thing started going around, and Rouse's had to respond. As a matter of fact, Donald Rouse Sr. responded. And this is what he said. He said, quote, I attended the rally yesterday as a supporter of the president and to be in our nation's capital at the close of his presidency. I left before the violence began and was shocked and saddened to see it unfold on TV. I condemn the actions of those who unlawfully entered and damaged our hallowed institutions and threatened our public servants. Violence and destruction do not represent our country's values or the values of Rouse's. And then he said, though I am no longer involved in the day-to-day operations of Rouse's, that's my family's name on the building, and my actions reflect on my family, Rouse's, and the community I love so dearly. I'm horrified by the violence and destruction we saw yesterday and the pain it has caused so many. Our country desperately needs to come together to heal, and I will do everything I can to be a part of that process. So he and his friend went to the protest.
Right. I think he's missing the point, though. See, he's talking about, he believes that they want to boycott Rouse's just because of the insurrection or the storming of Capitol Hill. But I guarantee you, even if the violence never occurred, in that picture of him was just at the Trump rally in general, even if it was a peaceful protest like it should have been, the fact that he was present at a Donald Trump supporting rally, they still would have tried to boycott him just because of that. So the violence has nothing to do necessarily with them boycotting Rouse's because he was present there. The violence just helped out their argument. But even if there was no violence that spread out, the fact that he was at a Donald Trump supporting rally, that was enough for them to boycott Rouse's.
Well, Coleman, that is wrong. You can't be boycotting businesses in the United States because you can do whatever the hell you want to do.
Right.
But you're telling other people to boycott a business because you don't like who the owner of that business voted for president?
This text message said it. He says, if a boycott is bad because it would affect the locals that work there, well, should the owner think about that before he did what he did? It is his responsibility to act in a manner that would not affect his employees. It is solely his responsibility for those employees. We cannot and will not allow it to hurt local and local workers excused that. They didn't punctuate it correctly. But basically they're saying that he should have thought of that before he even went to the protest. He should have thought about his own employees, which is not necessarily his employees, but I get what the texter is trying to say.
And, you know, look, texter, and the texter brought up the local employees. See, when you boycott things, you're hurting so many people who you don't even realize you're hurting. You don't like that the owner of Rouse's was a Donald Trump supporter, the retired owner of Rouse's. You don't like the fact that he supported Donald Trump. So now you're telling everybody to boycott his business. What about the over 7,000 local people who they employ?
This region. This text is saying he should have thought about that.
Okay, slow down. But the boycott would hurt all of those local people that are trying to feed their families, that are trying to pay rent. So you're hurting so many local people who live among you if you're one of these people that are saying boycott Rouse's. And to the texter, look, if you want to boycott a business because you don't like who the owner voted for president, you can do whatever you want to do. But you know how wrong that is, hurting so many people? Because you don't like the guy that the owner of the business voted for? He wasn't part of the storming of the Capitol building. He didn't even know that was going on. He'd already left. He was watching it on television. So what the people are saying when they're telling you to boycott Rouse's, they're telling you to boycott Rouse's because they don't like the man who the retired owner of Rouse's supermarkets supported and voted for.
And that's what's wrong with cancel culture.
That's what's wrong with cancel culture. And this is all because of social media. This is all because of the internet and social media. Really? Whatever happened to the days in America where we're free to vote for whoever we want to vote for? The retired owner of Rouse's, Donald Rouse Sr., didn't do anything illegal.
Nope.
He went up there to a protest, a rally, and as he said, to basically be a part of saying goodbye to a president who he voted for. Now you've got people on the internet that are telling people boycott his business, so go and hurt all of the over 7,000 local employees that depend on that job for their livelihoods.
When did we get to that point?
How did we get to this point?
When did we get to that point?
I'm telling you, it's all because of social media. It's the cancel culture. It's the keyboard warriors. It's the people that don't have much else going on in their lives. So they're sitting there on their cell phones with their thumbs saying, look at this. I don't like this guy, so why don't you do this? Or I don't like... Whatever happened to... All right, look. If you don't want to shop at Rouse's because you don't like the fact that the retired owner voted for Donald Trump, that's your business. You can do whatever you want. But to start a campaign, a boycott campaign, to hurt over 7,000 local people who depend on that job, that is wrong. That is wrong. We need to get back to a place in this country where it's okay to disagree with someone. It's okay to disagree with someone if over a few political issues, or it's okay to disagree with someone over certain things. It's okay. We have the right to do that. This is America, the land of the free. We're allowed to disagree with people. But we've gotten to the point because of social media where if some people don't like something or they don't like something somebody did, said, voted for, they go for the throat and they're going to put them out of business and they're telling you to boycott them. This is so wrong. You have to be able to disagree with people. And again, if you personally don't want to shop there because you don't like the fact that he voted for a guy you didn't like, all right, fine. But he did nothing illegal. His friend that he was with there, all his friend did was take a picture of the two of them, post it on Facebook, and said, hey, we're here at the protest with a bunch of patriots, and some people didn't like that.
Hold on, right quick. This texter says, you guys didn't have a problem when they wanted to boycott Nike over Kaepernick. Actually, I did have a problem with that because it goes to without...
Slow down. When did you ever hear me say boycott Nike because of Kaepernick?
In fact, when it was going on, we were talking about how miserable it must be to want to reject yourself from anything that has something to do with a political ideology that you agree with. If you don't want to listen to a movie or listen to a song or watch a movie because you disagree with the actor, you don't want to go to a certain band's concert even though you like their music because of who they voted for. When the Kaepernick thing was going on, we talked about how miserable it must be to not want to eat at a certain chicken spot because you don't like who to like. It has to be a miserable life to separate yourself from everything be just because the person responsible for that thing or that product disagrees with you, and how you taking yourself to so many joys and pleasures of life just because of your hard stance of political ideology. So no, I didn't have a problem when people I didn't say something different when people boycotted Nike over the Kaepernick situation.
No, I was no fan of Colin Kaepernick, but I never told anybody to boycott Nike. I never said boycott. You know how many people who work for Nike that you would be hurting if you're telling people to don't shop there, to try to put them out of business, to boycott there? That's wrong. It's wrong. Donald Rouse Sr., who by the way is retired, and his former HR director, they flew up to Washington to pay their respects to a guy they voted for president. They did nothing illegal. They did nothing wrong. Yet we have some people here in New Orleans and around that are spreading boycott Rouse's messages to try to hurt the over 7,000 employees that they employ. As a matter of fact, the crew of Red Beans here in New Orleans, they're a Mardi Gras marching parade group. They have partnered with Rouse's for charitable events over the years. They just posted, we're done. We're cutting all of our ties with Rouse's. The crew of Red Beans, they said they're cutting their ties with Rouse's because they don't like who he voted for, the retired owner. Again, they had nothing to do, Donald Rouse Sr., and his former HR director. They had nothing to do with storming the Capitol building. They just went up there to be a part of a protest, a rally, to say goodbye to the guy they voted for 4 years ago.
All right, one quick point. This last text says, actions have repercussions. Rouse's is a public figure, and he needs to be concerned with people under his care. I understand that, but the fact that we're at a point in this country now where a public figure can't even live his life freely like as he wants to and supports who he wants to support without any negative backlash is the problem. We should be at a point where you can disagree with somebody without trying to steal their livelihood from them, cut them off or whatever. Like, we should be at a point where no matter who you vote for, what your political ideology is, you don't want to have to, you know, like, say, you know what, I'm never giving this person any money. I want him to collapse. I want him to be destroyed. I want everything that he stands for burned down. We have to get to a point where it shouldn't matter who you vote for, who you support. We should just agree to disagree, but we're past that point. He shouldn't have to be worried about what happens to his employees just by exercising his First Amendment right to gather and protest. He shouldn't have to worry about that. We shouldn't be at that point where that's a concern we have to have.
The cancel culture is completely out of control. Look, if you don't want to shop there, fine. But to try to spread information, to boycott a business, to hurt the people that work in that business, your neighbors, people that live around you that depend on that job to eat and live, shame on you. Look, do you agree with Coleman and me, or do you agree with the cancel culture here, and say that you shouldn't shop at Rouse's anymore? You should boycott Rouse's. Personally, I like Rouse's. Rouse's is my supermarket, and I would happily do their commercials if they wanted me to do their commercials.
Even if they had a different political ideology than you, John?
Of course, because this is the United States of America. We're allowed to have different opinions on things like politics. Text us. Are you going to boycott Rouse's? Or do you think this is absolutely ridiculous, like Coleman and I think? Our number is 504-260-9595. Please do not text while you're driving. Keep it short, and if it's good, we'll read it coming up next on the show here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. You know what happened today in 1815? The Battle of New Orleans was fought. The actual fighting took place in neighboring Chalmette, where it was cheaper to rent a battlefield. That's why it was over there. But as Andrew Jackson led the undermanned ragtag, and we fought off the Brits, those bastards. And, you know, if we didn't win the Battle of New Orleans, if England won that, they could have taken over everything from the Mississippi River all the way to the Pacific Ocean. They could have. And who knows what would have played out, what would have happened. So that happened today, way back in 1815. Hey, coming up next, your texts on the attempted boycott of Rouse's local supermarket chain. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. New Orleans morning radio show. And if you're just joining us, we were talking about how some people are spreading a message online on social media. I saw some of my Facebook friends, too. Not very many, but a couple that I couldn't believe what they were doing. They were telling people to boycott Rouse's, the local supermarket chain. I'm a huge fan of Rouse's. I love Rouse's. And the reason they're telling people to boycott Rouse's is because a picture was being spread on social media of the owner of Rouse's, who has been retired, Donald Rouse Sr., along with a man who used to be the HR, the human resources director at Rouse's. The former HR director is the one who snapped the picture and put it on his social media. It was a picture of those two from 2 days ago, from Wednesday, in Washington, D.C., at the Donald Trump, you could call it a rally or a protest or saying goodbye, whatever you want to call it. And when some local people around here saw that picture, they said, how could you shop at Rouse's anymore when this man and his former HR director were at that event and they were how could you spend any money with any business that supported an insurrection against the United States government because of what happened Wednesday when some people stormed the United States Capitol building. Now, Donald Rouse Sr. and his former HR director, they didn't take part in that. They left, as a matter of fact. And they only saw that on TV, and they were horrified, and they were saddened, and they were disappointed. All they were doing is they went up there to say goodbye to a guy they voted for 4 years ago, to be a part of a protest or a rally, whatever the case may be. But now you've got people, some people on Facebook that want to put them out of business. They're saying boycott Rouse's because they didn't like the fact that these two guys were at anything to do with Donald Trump. So they're telling people to put them out of business because they don't like who they voted for. That is so wrong. The cancel culture is so out of control. Look, if you don't want to shop there because the retired former owner is a Donald Trump supporter, that's up to you. You can shop wherever you want. But how dare you spread a message on social media and tell people to boycott and put these employees, this business, out of business? There are over 7,000 local people who work for Rouse's and work at Rouse's. And depend on Rouse's to feed themselves, their families, to pay their rent, to pay their mortgage. This is completely out of control. And these people are doing this. They're telling you to boycott Rouse's because they don't like who the retired owner and the former HR director voted for. Can you believe that? That is wrong. That is completely wrong. Our cancel culture in this country is out of control, and it's all because of social media. You got a bunch of people who got not much else going on in their lives, so they've got their phones that they're addicted to, and there they are with their thumbs, and they see things, and they share things, and oh, yeah. I mean, a couple of my Facebook friends shared that. I sent them inbox messages. I said, what the hell's the matter with you? You don't go to Rouse's because you don't like who the retired owner voted for? Again, he had nothing to do with storming the Capitol. They had already left. They just went up to be a part of something for a guy that they voted for 4 years ago. This is ridiculous. And I asked you to text us, do you agree with me? Or do you agree with the people that say boycott Rouse's?
This texter says, I could care less who you voted for, but I do care when you try to overturn a free and fair election. See, I think this text is trying to say that the rally for Donald Trump was trying to intimidate the certification of the presidency. That's why they were there. They were trying to stop the electoral votes from being certified. So that is a problem. You don't want to intimidate a free and fair election. So I could agree with that. But I don't think
they were intimidating anybody. There's a lot of people, texter, who thought those votes in those handful of states, Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, that there was shady things going on around those votes. There's a lot of people that believe that.
Yeah, but I think the texter does have a fair point, but I don't think Donnie Ross himself had anything to do with that part.
Of course he didn't.
Right. Casey says, boycotts usually don't work because it revs up support, which is true because I'm seeing a lot of texts saying they're going to triple their spending at Rouse's now. They're going to start going to Rouse's even though they've never been. Now that they hear this, they want to support Rouse's. So a lot of that is same thing happened with Chick-fil-A, you know?
Yeah, I think outside of New Orleans, in suburban New Orleans, which is red country, I think you'll see people support them. I don't know about the stores here in the city because the city's blue.
Well, Morgan says, I was at Rouse's last night and everyone there knew about it and you couldn't fit another person inside the store. The people that are bitching and complaining should take their Louisiana purchase cards and go to Piggly Wiggly. Jeez, that was rough. This text says, if I have a problem with the person or any place, I just won't go there. But I don't feel like I need to gather a bunch of people together that may share my views to validate my views. I simply won't go there. If I have a problem... He says, I have a problem with a particular burger joint Chalmette. I just don't go there and buy it. But there are plenty other establishments that I go to. And I agree with that. There's a certain musical artist that I don't support at all. But if I'm in a car with somebody else and I'm in a place and they play the music, I don't try to make them turn the music off, or I don't try to cut their music or shame them from doing it. But when you're in my car or in my house, I don't play that guy's songs. But if I'm in somewhere else, I don't try to make them, you know, submit to my views and say, don't turn it off. I can't listen to that guy.
The local crew of Red Beans, they're a Mardi Gras marching parade group. They just ended their relationship with Rouse's. They have teamed up for a long time with Rouse's to help feed the hungry, to help feed people that need to eat. And they just said, you know what? We're out of this. All because Donald Rouse Sr., mm-hmm. went to that Donald Trump call it a protest, a rally, whatever the case may be, and left before anybody stormed into the United States Capitol building.
Well, that's funny you should say that, because this texter says, I have supported the crew of Red Beans, but not now. Their ridiculous stance against the Rouse's thing. So now that the crew of Red Beans have come out and said they don't support Rouse's, this texter said, well, they can't support the crew of Red Beans.
See and it out? Sucks because the crew of Red Beans does good work, too. And I think the crew of Red Beans is wrong here, because the crew of Red Beans is telling people, we're not going to deal with someone who we disagree with, who they voted for.
But here's the difference. This person himself is not going to support the crew of Red Beans, but I don't think they're going to go about and try to make everybody else follow their views. He's just going to say, look, I can't support the crew of Red Beans anymore, but that's his or her personal decision. Whereas now if they go and on Facebook and say, look, I'm not supporting the crew of Red Beans anymore. I want all you guys to get behind me and do what I do. Now, that's, like I said, that's the part we have an issue with.
Before social media, before Facebook and Twitter, before social media, it was okay to disagree with someone. This is the land of the free. We can disagree. We can agree to disagree. But it's not like that anymore. If people disagree with people over some things, a lot of things, then all of a sudden they want them canceled. The cancel culture comes out. And I blame that all on social media. It's these people sitting around with a lot of time on their hands, and there they are staring at their phones with their thumbs. Did you realize how many local people boycotting Rouse's supermarkets would hurt? Over 7,000 local people work for them. Yeah, what do you want? You want to take their jobs away from them? What's the matter with you? Hey, we appreciate the texts. Thank you very much. But we've got to get back to that place in this country where it's okay to disagree with someone. My God, if we all thought the same way about everything, that's like communism. We'd be stepping in a locked goose step walking down the street. That's scary stuff. We have to be able to disagree with people, to agree to disagree with them. Coming up on the show, got the, this is interesting. You're not going to believe some of the most popular dog names. A list has just come out. This is almost as crazy as people wanting to boycott Rouse's because the retired owner voted for Donald Trump. Stay tuned for that coming up. We've also got the dumbest thing I read all morning. Oh, today's Friday. It's the dumbest thing I read all week. Still got a lot to get to. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. You know, AC/DC there. Before that, we played Queen, Fat Bottom Girls. And I was saying to Coleman, while we were playing that song here in the studio, I said, this song couldn't be released today. It would offend too many of the keyboard warriors on social media. When Freddie Mercury, the singer of Queen, says Big Fat Sally, and he talks about fat bottom girls make the rockin' world go up, there would be too many people offended by that.
And I disagreed. I disagreed. I think they would see this song as body positive. You know, now we have artists like Lizzo who are trying to get people to embrace having big bodies and big bottoms. And plus, Sir Mix-a-Lot had the cult classic. You know, I Like Big Butts and I Can't Lie. People still love that song. And with just Cardi B has a song talking about the female anatomy, you know, her wet ass, whatever the blank. So I think, you know, Freddie Mercury singing a song about big booty chicks would be accepted today.
I don't think so, Coleman, because the fat. That word right mm-hmm. there is not a positive word at all, and that's in the song title. And then when he talks about Big Fat Sally, I'm telling you, people would complain about that song.
I think if
it was written today,
all you had to do is change the F in fat to PH in fat, and it changes the meaning entirely.
Well, yeah, but that's not what Freddie Mercury was singing about. We'll figure a gay guy singing about girls with big fat bottoms.
The now, irony.
I've got this story here that is, I looked at it, I had to read it two or three times because I said, what? This can't be. But it is. It does be. It bees. Listen to this. This woman in Missouri at 93 years old just died. And when she died, she was the last Civil War widow who was alive. The last Civil War widow just died. She was 93 years old. She lived in Missouri. She got married when she was 17 years old, and she married, she married a 93-year-old guy. When she was 17
All right.
years old.
I was about to say the math wasn't adding up, but that makes sense.
She was 101 when she just died. She died this week at 101 years old. When she was 17 years old, she married a 93-year-old guy.
Talking about robbing the cradle.
And if you're wondering how that happened, well, her name is Helen Viola Jackson. She got married in 1936 to a guy named James Bolin. Bolin was a Civil War veteran who fought for the Union in the border state of Missouri. Why did she, at 17 years old, marry him when he was 93 years old?
True love.
Well, listen to this, Coleman. When the Civil War ended, I guess her father knew this guy or was friends with this guy, and he would send his daughter over to his house to help him with things because he was, you know, really old. He was 93. He knew he was dying, so he said, why don't I marry you? I know you're 17, I'm 93, but when I die, you can get my Civil War pension. Because you're poor, you and your father, I know, and I got, you guys are having a tough time making money. So she married him, basically, for his Civil War pension. And she just died at the age of 101. Can you believe that? The last Civil War widow just died, as we sit here at the beginning of the year 2021.
I hope she was doing, I mean, you know, I hope it was a good pension she got.
She never told anybody about this until the last 3 years of her life. And she embraced the recognition. She was actually, she got a spot on the Missouri Walk of Fame.
They have one?
Who knew? But the last 3 years of her life, she started telling people, I think I'm the last Civil War wife who is still alive.
It's a good thing she married somebody in the Union, because if it was the other side, they probably would have dug up her Hall of Fame star or whatever they have in Missouri.
They would have canceled her.
Yeah.
She would have been part of the cancel culture. Wow, that blew me away. When I saw that story, I said, this can't be right. When did this happen? It just happened. My mind equals blown right now. That the last Civil War widow just died. Yeah, I wonder how much money, if they can go back and add up all of the money she got from her dead husband's Civil War pension.
See, that was nice of him to do that. If it was the other way around, if it was her marrying him, you know, I don't want to say she's a gold digger, but, you know, nowadays you see a lot of young women trying to take advantage of old Hugh Hefner type men to try to get into that will. So I'm glad it wasn't a case like that.
Yeah, well, Coleman, earlier in this week, we talked about prostitution and should it be legal. And I said, geez, you look at some of these women who marry some of these guys, and these guys are loaded and they're nothing to look at, but these good-looking younger women are marrying them. I mean, and prostitution isn't legal? And we were talking earlier this week how we thought prostitution should be legal, because any business transaction between two consenting adults, sex work is real work. So, but anyways, I just I couldn't believe that the last just died.
May she rest in peace.
Time to turn the page, I guess, huh?
Yeah.
The end of an era. All right, coming up, I got the dumbest thing I read all week, and coming up before that, next, got the most popular dog names right now. And some of these names have me scratching my head, like the dogs scratch other parts. Stay tuned for that, those reports coming up here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. So the most popular dog names of the year 2020, the list just came out from Rover.com. Rover.com is an online network of pet sitters and dog walkers, and they have a lot of people. They ask people, pet dog owners, questions, and one of them is what's the name of your dog. So they've got their information, their research, and according to Rover.com, the most popular male dog name in the year 2020 is Max, followed by Charlie, then Cooper, Buddy, Milo. When I was a kid, our next door neighbor's name was Milo. Then Bear, Rocky, Duke, Tucker, and Jack. The most popular female dog names in the year 2020, according to Rover.com. Listen to this. Bella, Luna, Lucy, Daisy, Lola, Sadie, Molly, Bailey, Stella, Gala, and Maggie.
Those bitches.
Notice
how all the female names have a vowel sign at the end. Lucy and Bella and Stella and
Luna. They're the same names as kids. We used to name dogs ridiculous names, but now we name them the same things that we name our kids. The popularity of the name Covey or Kovi, C-O-V-I, is up 1,159%. Rona is up 69%. Well, where do you think Covey came from?
Covey and Rona.
Rona is up 69%. Corona is up 24%. And then when it came to other names, people enjoy are inspired by pop culture and television shows and performers as well. Pets named after the Tiger King's Carol Baskin.
Oh my gosh!
Were up 46%. Dogs named Mando. That's a nod to Disney's Mandalorian. Rocketed up 2,658%. And then the name Lizzo saw a 458% increase. People are naming their song after that big singer.
You mean their dogs?
I mean, people are naming their dogs after that big singer who sings. Betty White is a very popular dog owner's name for their dogs. Taylor Swift, she's a well-documented cat lover, but that name, Taylor Swift, increased in popularity as a dog name with a 92% bump up.
What would you name your bitch?
Nah.
If you had one.
If I had a female dog?
Yeah.
What would I name her?
Yeah.
If I had a female dog, what would I name my dog?
Don't worry about it.
No, I've never have a cat.
I remember the good old days.
I have a cat, a big, fat, black cat, Elgato Negro.
Right, that brings me to the point I was trying to make, how we used to just name animals based off their characteristics, like Elgato Negro, black cat, or dogs named Spot. They would have a spot on their eye on their sides, or mittens, because their paws would be a different color than the rest of their body. We've gone clearly away from how we just named your pet based on their physical characteristics. Now we name them regular human names, it seems like, whereas horse racers or horse owners, they just go all out the ballpark when it comes to names.
That would take me, I would have to think about that. If I had a female dog or if I had a bitch, I would have to think about what the breed is, what she looks like, and you know, it would take me a little bit of time to come up with a name.
You need to find you a bitch, John.
Well, it's a whole other story. But, Like I named my big fat black cat, male cat, El Gato Negro, which is the black cat in Spanish. It took me a little bit of time to come up with that name.
Wow.
Hey, coming up next, it's the dumbest thing that I read all week since today's Friday. Stay tuned for that. It has to do with either the dumbest or unluckiest burglars that you've heard about. That's next on the dumbest thing I read all week. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show, New Orleans morning radio show. If you're just joining us, we were talking about how some people want to boycott Rouse's earlier in the show this morning, the local supermarket chain, and we said we don't agree with that, and boy, we were getting into it. We were talking about that, how the Capitol police chief up there in Washington, D.C. resigned because of what happened on Wednesday. It should have never happened. I mean, how some of those people were able to get in there. I mean, a guy with no shirt and wearing a furry hat with horns sticking out of each side, how that guy was able to breach security and get into the Capitol building is beyond me. But the Capitol police chief resigned. And it was an epic failure, an epic failure on their part. But we talked about a lot of different things on the show this morning. If you're just joining us now and you missed it, listen to our podcast. The podcast of our show goes up as soon as it's over, and it goes up on our website, bayou957.com. So check out the podcast. If you're only listening to a little bit of the show here or there or wherever, it's always there in full for you on our website at bayou957.com. It's that time of our show where I tell you the dumbest thing I read all morning, and because today is Friday, here's the dumbest thing that I read all week. Boston Marathon bomber suing the government over the confiscation of his ball cap and the limits on his showers. You remember the Boston Marathon bombing a few years back at the right near the finish line of that historic race? And it was two young brothers who did it, the Sarnareth brothers.
You idiot.
Close enough.
The Sarnareth brothers.
Them too, yes.
The cops shot and killed one of them, the older one, that day, that night. But the younger one they caught, and he's been in jail since then. His name is Zohokar.
Yeah.
Sarnaev. Well, anyways, that Boston Marathon bomber, he is suing the government. He's suing the federal government for hundreds of thousands of dollars over the confiscation of a baseball cap and limited showers at the prison where he's serving his life sentence. And look at this guy. He wants to blow people up at the Boston Marathon, yet he's upset that the government took his baseball cap and they limit the number of showers he's allowed to take.
Now, I'm curious, what kind of baseball cap did he have? Was it the Oakland A's, Houston Astros, New Orleans Pelicans, Boston Celtics?
Well, I don't know about that, Coleman, but he's 26 years old now, and he was sentenced to death back in 2013 for that bombing that killed three people and injured more than 260 people near the race's finish line. And he's suing the federal government for $250,000 in a handwritten lawsuit that was filed this week. You know, I was on the radio in Boston for many years, and there were a few years where I did my show at a bar from the finish line, a bar right at the finish line, right, because there's a bunch of them there, at the Boston Marathon. And I'll never forget being on the radio here in New Orleans when that bomb went off. And I'm thinking to myself, my God, I did radio shows right from there.
If he's sentenced to death, what does he expect to do with the money if somehow he actually wins this case?
Can you imagine who would award him if he does win the case? Who makes that decision? Find me a judge. Maybe they'd go out to San Francisco and that's that court of appeals out there. But find me a judge that would award this guy anything. He's 26 years old now. Coleman, his name is Zohokar Sarnaev.
Just give it up. You're not going to get it right, dude.
That's his name.
Okay. That's like a third different pronunciation of the name.
There's a bunch of letters in there that that don't really, well, anyways. Well, they I guess he's upset that he doesn't have the baseball cap that he likes wearing. He didn't seem like a baseball fan when he was making headlines with his brother. You know, there was a lot of young women who really liked him, and they send him a lot of mail. From what I read, they send him like nude pictures of themselves. And
that's what it is. Then maybe some woman had a conjugal visit with him one day and said, "Hey, look, if I give you this, I'm gonna need some money before you die, since you are dead." So if he does somehow, by some long shot, wins this case, he's gonna give the money to one of his concubines that fanboys him with all the letters and nude pics that he gets in prison.
When they were looking for him, because if you remember the Boston Marathon bombing, like I said, that night they shot and killed his older brother, but they were looking for him for a couple of days, and they nicknamed him White Hat because the picture that was going around, he was wearing a white baseball cap, but it didn't have a Boston Red Sox logo on it. I don't remember. I don't think we could see any baseball team logo on it. And his older brother's name is much easier to pronounce. His older brother's name was Tamerlan. But he is actually suing the federal government for $250,000 over a baseball cap and the fact that he can't take as many showers in prison as he wants to. You know, he was put in there when he was really young. Like I said, I mean, he's 26 now. What would that make him? He was 18 when he was put in there. So he's going to be in prison, even though he got the death penalty. They don't kill anybody anymore, hardly. He's going to be in prison from 18 years old. Can you imagine that? Spending from 18 years old. Let's say he lives till he's 80 or 90. His entire life. But from 18 years old in prison.
I'm surprised that this guy who's on death row and tried to blow people up and takes limited showers gets nudie pics in the mail, and I don't.
Yeah.
The injustice.
You and me both, Coleman. This guy's...
I have two showers at my house, you know. I'm a little bit cleaner than this guy.
Yeah, a lot of young women like that guy. Anyways, the Boston Marathon bomber who is suing the federal government for $250,000 over the confiscation of a baseball cap and the limits on the showers he's allowed to take. That is the dumbest thing that I read all week.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.